Okay, well, we're gathered here for a brief description of what we have just accomplished. This is a press conference. In attendance are all the council members, with the exception of Jim Yost and Bill Booth from Idaho, who had to leave to catch an airplane. And we will start this press conference with a introduction by Tom Ekman, and he will provide a summary of what we have just now collectively accomplished. So, Tom, take it away.
Thank you, Chairman Lorenzen. I'll give a quick summary of what the major thrust of the Northwest Power Council's seventh power plan contains, and then I think we'll open it up to questions and comments from the reporters that might be there and or any of the members. I'll try and keep this relatively brief. The principal components of the power plan are energy efficiency, demand response, increased use of existing and new natural gas in the near term, and development of renewable resources. In the conservation front, the plan calls for development of 1,400 average megawatts of energy efficiency over the next 6 years by 2021. 4,300 average megawatts by the time we get to the end of the planning period, which is 2035. In the area of demand response, which is a new area for the council, in particular for this plan, a great new resource identified that can help the system meet its peak requirements and also provide ancillary service needs for integrating wind and other variable resources. The region looks like it's going to need a minimum of 600 average megawatts, and the council is going to this plan encourages the development of those resources because they are inexpensive to hold when we need those resources to make use of to meet peak demands. The third area, which is increased use of existing natural gas, we find that that's the most economic way in near term to reduce carbon emissions for the region as coal plants that are already announced for retirement go through their retirement process. When we get to renewable resources, the component of the plan sees that we need to develop some locally cost-effective resources in the form of fossil-free ones from renewables. We also need to satisfy the existing state renewable portfolio standards and develop resources in the area of renewables that can provide peak energy going forward. So the identified both summer energy resources from solar photovoltaic and geothermal resources that can provide peak demands during the course of the entire year. And both of those seem to be more favored than developing additional wind in the region, which doesn't meet our winter peak and summer peak demands. Those are the principal components on the resource side. We have several action items to develop those and develop the infrastructure support, particularly demand response, where the region is pretty nascent in that resource development area. And we have a great deal of activities in the area of developing the energy efficiency and developing designing programs to develop aggressively that particular resource. The long-run forecast for need in the region is driven by the economy. Under the current medium case forecast, the region is expected to grow in population by about 15% between 2015 and 2035. Number of households increased by 25%, industrial output by 36%, and commercial floor space by 25%. Throughout that entire planning period, the energy efficiency we do will keep loads flat. So we have a robust economic growth, but no need for new additional resources beyond energy efficiency and demand response to satisfy that increased both commercial and industrial output and growth in population. So that's the bottom line. And in addition to that, by not building new generation, we'll be easily satisfying at the regional level, at least, the carbon emission requirements that both the federal government has established, although there's the little Supreme Court issue on that one right now, which we can probably talk about. But we'll meet the carbon requirements as set forth by the federal government relatively easily because we're not building new generation. So I'll stop there and see if there are questions from reporters or comments other council members want to make.
The one thing that I think that while it's embedded within your comments, the matter that's significantly different with this power plan compared to previous power plans is the focus upon capacity as opposed to simply energy resources. And that created a whole new level of rigor within your modeling and your analysis and also the conclusions of the plan. Any questions from folks on the telephone?
Tom, this is Jude. I wondered, in your review of the renewables, is that a slight tweak from what was in the draft plan?
No, the draft and final are pretty consistent on the need for additional renewable resources. We didn't find beyond that development of additional resources beyond those required by the existing renewable portfolio standards in the states and those that are already banked by meeting those standards was an economical choice for the resource, nor required to meet loads going forward. So it's the same finding between the draft and the final.
Okay. So there really aren't any significant changes between the draft and the final.
I think the principal change between the draft and the final is in the area of need to ensure that we have sufficient resources to maintain the integration of renewables going forward as loads continue to grow and some resources are added. We, in the draft plan, had not accounted for reserves held for variable wind integration or variable solar integration throughout the entire region. Once we'd accounted for that, there's a need to develop the demand response and energy efficiency in the plan in order to make sure that we have a reliable system meeting adequacy standards under poor water conditions and extreme weather events by 2021. In the draft plan, that was less apparent. And so between draft and final, there's more certainty in the need for demand response. That's the simple principal change.
Okay.
Any other questions, folks on the phone? Do any of the council members wish to make any comments?
Mr. Chair, yes. As you certainly know, I have spent the last almost 10 years giving lectures about climate change, particularly here in the Northwest. And what really inspires me about this plan is that it really minimizes contribution of carbon from the power system. And it really looks at our future and says we can develop and maintain a reliable, cost-effective power system without a significant increase in carbon to the atmosphere. And I think it's a model for this country. It's a model, really, that I hope the whole world will look at as a way to maintain economic strength at the same time that we are lighter in our impact on the atmosphere. So I'm just thrilled by this plan.
And as a reference for the folks on the phone, that was Bill Bradbury, a council member from Oregon, who was speaking.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Tom Carrier from Washington.
Thanks, Henry. And I just want to add to what Bill said, and I think it's one aspect that makes this power plan particularly desirable and important, that we start with probably the cleanest power system in the world because of our hydro system base. And in our plan, because of the energy efficiency and because of planned closures of coal plants that Washington State and Oregon have pursued, Phil Rockefeller on our council has been involved in instrumental in that. Because of that, we expect the Northwest to generate something like 40% less carbon than it does today. So over time, we expect that to decrease again because of energy efficiency and planned closures. We're going to cut that carbon emission significantly. And we identify that there's additional opportunities through some reasonably cost policies that could reduce that change that number from 40% reduction to 65% reduction. And all of that's included in the plan, and where we discuss the different carbon policies that we can choose from. And we looked at three major ones of carbon pricing, plant closures, and renewable portfolio standards. And all of that's included in this plan. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman?
It sounds like the council members are, the action yesterday by the Supreme Court is not going to impact the regional plan. It doesn't change the way that the council is approaching this.
Tom, I think you're probably the best to respond to that.
I think independent of the Clean Power Plan, our charge under the Power Act is to develop an affordable, reliable, and cost-effective power system. And doing that turns out to reduce a lot of carbon, independent of whether there's a requirement from the federal government to do so. Just developing the cheapest resources first and only building what you need to satisfy loads going forward eliminates a lot of potential increase in carbon requirements, because it's just cost effective to save energy as opposed to produce it. And that, so whether we had a federal clean power plan or not, we'd end up with very, very similar results, if not the same result.
I think, Mr. Chair, yes. I think it's just important to note that the closure of the Boardman coal plant and the closure of the Centralia coal plant, the announcements of those closures precede the federal government's clean power plan. So they're not dependent on a federal law. They are decisions made by the local utilities to eliminate those sources of significant carbon from our atmosphere in the Northwest.
Pat Smith from Montana.
Yeah, I was just going to expand on your comment, Henry, about the focus on capacity in the plan. And really, as this plan started, that was really a major challenge, because the region is now shifting into this concern about capacity needs. And we developed this new model that Tom referred to. And for the first time, we had the capability to really focus on these capacity aspects of various generating resources. This is a new level of sophistication that the council brought to bear on this issue, and we learned things. And one of the major things I learned, and we all learned, was the impact of energy efficiency on capacity. And we realized that the contribution of that energy efficiency, which we all held so high in high regard with our achievements since the act was passed, actually had almost double the benefits, close to double the benefits towards contributing towards the capacity needs of the region. So that was a major focus of the plan and how the plan addresses that particular issue. And of course, energy efficiency, doing that at half the rate of any competing generating resource. I just also mentioned solar. You know, this plan, unlike other plans that I've heard of, is we have industrial-scale solar going in southern Idaho, and the numbers on that are coming in just out-competing gorge wind prices. So this is another major development in the region, and we're seeing solar obviously matching better with regional, summer peaking loads and daytime loads. So just another, pretty significant change in the portfolio from past plans.
Thank you. Anything further? Any further questions from folks on the telephone?
I think another question is basically what happens next, and where, in terms of the region, what do we do with this now? Like the utilities, and you guys have done all the heavy lifting, but what should happen next?
Well, we have a series of actions in the plan for the region as a whole, for us, the council itself, and for Bonneville to take. They run the gamut from simply meeting, not simply, but aggressively meeting the energy efficiency and demand response goals in the plan to doing a bunch of work on developing infrastructure for demand response to make sure we can get that in place, some direction to Bonneville to work with its customers on thinking about how it might deliver energy efficiency. So there are a series of implementation tasks that we've included in the plan like we have before that over the next 5 to 6 years the council will be checking in on and encouraging for implementation. So the next 18, 24 months before we get to the midterm assessment will be spent getting things off the ground and checking out where we were by 2018, 2019 sometime. So
the other thing I might mention, what happens next is also a loss of a tremendous resource that the council has with the retirement of Tom Ekman.
When are you retiring, Tom?
I'm not announcing that on a press conference.
Not right away.
But it won't be the 8th plan, Jude.
Oh, no, that's true. But what about the investor-owned utilities? I mean, the public utilities that are, you know, most of them have some association with BPA. They kind of fall in line in terms of following the plan. But what about the IOUs?
Tom, you probably are best.
Just hope they.
I think as has been in the past, the investor-owned utilities and the commissions that regulate them and the public interest groups that make use of our plan will find some accommodation one way or another as they discuss what that implication might be for their particular service territories. So there's always the plan is held up and reviewed by the commissions and held up and reviewed by public interest groups who participate in integrated resource planning and other activities done by the investor-owned utilities. So it serves as a metric against which their plans are compared, and questions get raised and answered as a consequence of that. So while it doesn't have any direct influence on them, no regulatory effect, it certainly has, I'll call it the bully pulpit effect, and they get to respond and to what's in the plan and how their situation may be similar or different. So.
Okay.
In a positive way, I think if utilities are, this is Tom Carrier again, if utilities are proposing resources that are part of the regional plan and regional resources, I think it makes it that much easier because it's already been vetted as a low cost optimum option for the Northwest.
Okay. Any further questions, Julie or Jude? Do you have any other inquiries here of those of us in the room?
I think I'm good. Thank you.
Bet. Well, thank you for attending this. Does anyone else on the phone have a question? Doesn't sound like it. So with that, we've concluded this press conference, and to the extent this is a council meeting, we are adjourned.